This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
This is my Bible. I am
what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're going to teach part two of a lesson we started last time I was with you in Bible study on breaking the controlling power of the fear of lack, or overcoming the controlling power of the fear of lack. And in that lesson, and I'll do a very brief review, but we very quickly stated that our objective here is to root out what I believe is the most devastating and paralyzing element that can attack a believer, and that's fear. And we talk about the fear of lack. We go beyond thinking about money, but we're talking about the fear of coming up short, the fear of God not coming through for us, the fear of insufficiency in any area. And so that fear really can grip you and cause you to compromise principles of righteousness. And we have to root that out, because at the base, or at the root foundation of every disobedience to the known will of God, is some type of fear, a fear of lack, fear of God, of it not working, the principle not working for you. And since I taught that lesson, of course, many of our members came up to me and told me that was just the bread that they needed for the time, because there is an ongoing assault against the minds of the believers to bring them to a place of fear, because fear has torment. The devil cannot keep you out of heaven, but he wants to rob you of God's best. And so as we study this word, especially tonight, we believe that we'll equip you so that you will overcome. You'll have the tools and you'll know how to overcome this controlling power of the fear of lack. Now turn with me your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Fear is a spirit that affects the mind and emotions, causing anxiety and dread over a perceived awareness of approaching danger or sense of being overwhelmed. That's our definition, our working definition. Fear is a spirit, because the Bible says it's a spirit, and that affects the mind and emotions, causing anxiety and dread over a perceived awareness of approaching danger and sense of being overwhelmed. We will never be able to trust God at a not knowing level until you defeat fear. You can never trust God at a not knowing level until you defeat fear. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. So the scripture lets us know that we do not have to know how God's word is going to work, how the promise, all of the details of how the manifestation of God's word in our lives and the promises of God's word are going to happen. We don't have to know how, but we do have to trust him that it will happen. And until I defeat this fear of lack, fear of coming up short, fear of it not working for me. Yeah, I heard the testimonies of others. I got excited about that testimony, but man, it may not happen like that for me. And with that reservation and that hesitation, many times there is the postponement of the aggressiveness and the intensity that is required to receive the promises of God. So we have to overcome it. Turn now with me your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And let me give a proof text for the definition I gave, that fear is a spirit. And so 2 Timothy, Paul writes to his son Timothy, and he says there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God did not give us a spirit of fear. So we said in our last lesson that fear is foreign to the believer. You have not been designed or engineered by God to function in fear. In fact, you have been engineered by God to function in faith. You have been You have been designed as a faith being. You are of God's kind, and He is a God of faith. And so it is more comfortable for you to operate in faith than it is in fear. So we understand that since God did not give us fear, it is foreign to us. It can hold us in bondage if we don't renew our minds and know how to resist it. Amen. Now, turn with me your Bibles now. Let's see if we can flow into, let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll look in verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31, verse 32. Last time we talked about how fear can hold you in bondage. And what we have to know how to do is to how to be free of fear. And God gives us a plan for all freedom. John chapter 8, verse 32. Are you there? All right. I'll start at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free." So I understand it is truth that causes me to be free. I need to know the truth. And one person has said and defined it, a real kind of definition of fear is false evidence appearing real. You understand? I need to know the truth because the truth can help dispel the fear. Now turn to John 17 and 17. And so we see that the word of God says it is truth. The word is truth. So there are some absolutes in life. And I have to come to the place where I respect and accept God's word as absolute truth. All right, there it is, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when I want to know the truth, I don't go ask Mamie. I don't go ask Shanika. When I want to know the truth, I go and find out what God's word says. Amen? All right, and from the truth of God's word, I have found out that I found out that faith works. Now turn the Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We looked at this situation where Peter was walking on the water going to Jesus. He stopped and looked at the winds and the waves and began to sink. And then Jesus ministered to him and showed him basically what caused his faith to diminish. All right? Are you there? All right, let's pick the story up there in verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now it is interesting to see here that Peter's faith was working because he was actually walking on the water. Walking on the water to the point that when his faith began to play out on him, as it were, he was only an arm's length, as it were, away from Jesus. So it had worked for him. But then something distracted him. He began to look at the natural circumstances and began to try to reason why he couldn't do what he was already doing. And that can happen in your life. Start off living the supernatural life, practicing the principles of God's word, and you're living far above what you ever imagined you could live. And then you start looking at the news, and the news starts talking about how bad it is and how tough things are. Got it? And that totally, you get to focusing on how bad it is, and they laying off, and then, they laying off, and it's rough here and it's rough there. And you forget all about that you are an ambassador, a citizen of another country. And your well-being is not affected by what's going on here in the earth. Amen. We have a God who is able to take care of us no matter what the situation is. But if you get distracted and get focused, then doubt arises. And we said on last time that what doubt is, doubt plows up the heart. It plows up the word of God and allows faith, allows fear to come in and overtake you. All right, so we can't let that happen. So in order to really stay focused and in order to really be have power over this fear of lack, you have to be established in faith. Everybody say established in faith. Now, you must have a clear understanding, unshakable understanding of the faith process, because faith is a process. It's a process. And so I have to have an understanding of the process. Mark 11, 23, 24, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I have to understand that it is a process. Everybody say process. All right, we just left the passage in Mark chapter 4. But Mark chapter 4 there, verse 26, 27, 28, begins to talk about how the word works, that it's a progressive manifestation. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. I have to understand that it is a process. Everybody say process. Now, when I understand that it's a process, I understand then that things may not happen immediately. But that doesn't mean my faith is not working. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, Romans 10, 17. I must understand the limitations of the God kind of faith. What do you mean the limitations? I thought you say God, with God all things are possible. It is. That's what the Bible says. But my faith has certain parameters. I can only release faith for the God kind of faith for what the word of God establishes. I can only operate in the God kind of faith based on what his word establishes. Romans 10, 17 says, so then what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whether that word of God is a logos word written in the scripture that I can find, or a rhema word, something God speaks to my heart, then that limits or that sets the parameters on what I can release my faith for. So I just can't haul off and say I'm going to do something by faith that is not covered by the scripture. Or that's not covered by a word from God. Amen. Because the God kind of faith only operates on what God says. Now, that answers a lot of questions with people who say, you know, well, you know, I went and I prayed for so-and-so and so-and-so died. Well, what the scripture says now is their will is the determining factor over their lives. Now, you can be praying all you want to for somebody to live, and if they want to die, then your prayers are canceled. Your prayers are secondary to their will. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, we prayed to win the game, and we really prayed to win the game, and the other team won the game. Well, I suppose the other team was Christians too. You know, they're Christians too. They love Jesus too. And they pray too. Well, now what God gonna do? Well, see, I'm limited in a situation like that only to pray that I function at the highest level of my preparation and ability. Amen. See, I have to understand, when I understand the faith process, I don't have misguided expectations. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. I got a little testimony coming on, but I'm going to try to pass it up so I can get finished. Yeah, I got a little testimony. Y'all probably heard testimony anyway, but I just squeak it out, give you a short version. Years ago, everybody say years ago. I recently wanted to be a cheerleader, you understand? Minister Lewis wanted to be a cheerleader. And so she went out, be a cheerleader. And of course, in schools where I grew up in, schools of color, gymnastics, acrobatics, all that kind of stuff ain't a part of being a cheerleader. All you gotta do is be nice, pretty, and shake your butt. Come on, and then get somebody else to like you. Don't play me. Come on, don't try to play me. Don't try to play. You know, good and well, they ain't doing no flips, no twirls, and all that kind of stuff. I was school, man. We look at somebody doing like, whoa, what's going on? So, So Arisha went out to try out. She couldn't do the flips and all that sort of thing. And she came home devastated because they didn't pick her. And she cried, but I prayed. And I had to let her know. I said, well, baby, you don't have this skill level. So even though you function at your best, your skill level was below what was required. Now, if you're really serious about winning at this, daddy will pay for you to get some training, for you to get to gymnastics so you can do all the flips and that sort of thing, and you can try out again. Y'all want to know what happened? I'm not going to tell you. Okay. Oh, glory to God. All right, turn with me your Bibles. I'm just not going to tell you. Oh, my God. Amen. Oh, glory to God. He's not going to tell us either. No. Amen. Now, all of y'all are going to be rushing Arisha, asking her, what happened? I forgot. I know I sent her to the training, didn't I? But I think after I sent her to the training, she didn't want to try, did she? Yeah, she changed her mind, wanted to run track. Amen. All right. I must understand that there is a faith fight involved in the faith process. Everybody say a faith fight. Now, turn with me in the Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Scripture lets us know, fight the good fight of faith. So I understand that there is some resistance. There is some effort that has to take place if my faith is going to work. I got to be established in the faith process. Everybody say established in the faith process. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. And the reason I'm going over this is because many people make faith seem like it's almost magic. I'm going to confess it two or three times and voila, it's there. It happens. And you know, that's why I share with you faith fights that we have here. You know, we recently had a real big faith fight with the 5,000 seater. Amen. Glory to God. But we won the fight. Amen. Won the fight. I thought you'd get more excited than that. That's it. That's a serious. No. Y'all don't. If you only knew, maybe the Lord will reveal it to you in the spirit. But if you only knew the fight that took place for us to get in the building at the time we got in, you know, you would almost be, you know, dancing like I danced the other night. Lord Jesus, I'm telling you. When you understand that the week before we supposed to be in the building, Brother Roberson fires the ceiling, man. He fires the ceiling man. He finds the man that's got to put the ceiling in. Without the ceiling, you can't have air. Without air, you can't have church. Without the ceiling, you cannot have lights. Without lights, you can't have church. Amen. And we're talking 6 days before service. And it's not like the building, the ceiling is half complete. The thing is maybe a fourth at the most. We spent all these weeks getting a fourth of it complete. And we got 6 days. And he fires the guy. Because the guy said, y'all ain't going to finish no way. So he tells him, get your stuff and get off the property. Calls me up, Pastor, I fired the ceiling man. Excuse me. Would you repeat that? I run him off. Okay. What are you going to do for a ceiling? The Lord will provide. I done taught him. That's what I taught him. Right. fight has intensified. Look, it's already on. It was on the first day I sent out the invitation, didn't have the money to complete it. Fight is seriously on. Ain't no sense in not coming. Well, what are we going to do if we don't finish? You can't even entertain that kind of stuff when you down into the fight. But the Bible says it's a good fight. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. The Lord sent 20, I think the next day about 20 workers showed up. About 20 workers showed up. Word got out that we needed ceiling people. People hang the ceiling grid. The word got out, and then people just start showing up at the job site. The Lord provided himself a ceiling. Oh, my God. And then we didn't get the lights on until 5:30. Friday evening before the Sunday we supposed to open. Are you in Hebrews chapter 6? Amen. I'm talking about a faith fight, and we want to fight, and y'all sit there and look at me like, praise the Lord. I want to do something to y'all. Verse 12. Watch this. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. So I understand it takes faith and patience. I have to put on patience. And that is a persistent resting in the promise of God. I have to understand that patience is not saying, well, if it works out, it'll work out. If it won't, that's not patience. That's abandonment. Patience is I've done what I know I need to do, even though I may not see, it may not look like it's working, my confidence in God that it is working. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now. All right. Whew. Man, y'all get me all worked up. Turn to Mark chapter 4 again. Mark chapter 4. Understand the faith process. That I must have a conviction to obey God at all costs. Obey God at all costs. And I must understand the condition of my heart is what controls the time. The condition of my heart controls the timetable. Controls the manifestation time. A lot of people say, well, how long is it going to take? Let me tell you. Your heart condition is what brings forth the fruit. All right, watch this. There in verse 28 it says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. Now, this is in that same parable of the sower sowing the word. I have to back to verse 27, verse 26, so you can get the full impact. It says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man cast seed into the ground, and shall sleep and rise night and day, the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The operative phrase there is that the earth bringeth forth fruit. Now, in this parable, the earth is representative of the heart of the person, because the word of God is sown in the heart. Like seed is sown in soil, the word of God is sown in the heart. And God gives us parables so we can take natural illustrations and get spiritual revelation from. Now, the quality of the soil will determine how fast that seed is going to spring up. It's also going to determine the quality of the fruit. So it is, the condition of your heart is going to determine the timetable. That's why when you're in faith, you got to keep your heart right. I love everybody. It ain't worth falling out with folk on. You got, it ain't worth cussing nobody out. You in faith and you working on something, you going to call them and cuss somebody out? Don't do that. You messing up your heart, the ground of your heart. You just tell them, you better be glad I'm a Christian and I'm in faith for something. Be glad I'm in faith for something. You better be glad, because I tell you. But I'm going to love you. I'm telling you. Folk ain't worth it. Keep your heart clean. No envy, no strife, no jealousy, no unforgiveness. Keep your heart clean. That's the only way you can have confidence that your faith will yield the results when it's supposed to. I had confidence we were going to be in there. And I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, you know I can't make it. I can't make it without, if you don't help me, I ain't going to make it. My heart's right. I've done all I can do. Now, God, you have to do for me what I can't do. And at every turn, here's the fight. But the faith fight is fixed. We win. All right. Now, here are four principles that you have to respect that are necessary to overcome the fear of lack. Four principles. I'm going to give them to you, and then we'll deal with them. First principle is the principle of the will. The will. W-I-L-L. The will. The witness principle. The word principle and the works principle. Let's deal with the will first. And remember all through scriptures that when people were afraid, that Jesus would say, be not afraid. And Psalms, we looked at Psalms 58 there and other passages where it says, I will not fear. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 so we can see the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13, I think it is, yeah. Hebrews 13 and 6. I will not fear. We made the statement that fear is really a choice. I can be tempted to fear, but I don't have to accept it. Fear is not fear for me until I become afraid. I can be tempted with a circumstance. I can have this sense of this sense of uneasiness, this sense of perceived awareness of danger, but it does not become fear to me until I give myself over to those emotions. All right, watch this. Hebrews 13, 6, it says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Point here is my will is in control. You are in control over whether or not you will will to be in fear or you will to be in faith. Amen. Now turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You're in control. And that's a good thing, because if I'm in control, then I'm the deciding factor here as to whether or not I'm going to let a situation cause me to be in fear or not. Amen. All right, there it is. Thomas was not with the disciples when the disciples had seen the Lord. John chapter 20, are you there? Amen. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I should see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Thomas is saying that he has control over his will. I will. Believing is a matter of your will. Being in faith or being in fear is solely a matter of your will. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I got to get this to you because you can break the power of fear of your life tonight. You can leave out of here all those things you were afraid of. You can break the power of fear just like that. Otherwise, Jesus would be unfair, and the scriptures would be unfair. When the angels would appear on the scene, they'd say, fear not. Yeah. Of course, this is Christmas time. You know, you read it in the Bible, and the shepherds were on this field, watching their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared. Shepherds were afraid, and fear not. You know, Mary was there, you know, doing what she was doing. Angel busted in on her. That's the ghetto version. Mary was afraid. Angel said, fear not. Well, get the point now. If you weren't in control, why would the scripture tell you not to do something? See? All right, verse 37 says, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so declared in his heart that he will keep his virgin doeth well. It's just talking about in the context of this is sexual abstinence. But it's talking, the point I want you to see is that the Bible says a man has power over his own will. That is so important. Now understand, I have power over my will. I can set my will as I choose. Amen. Now, the principle of the will is this. Here's the principle of the will. That the strength of my will to hold a set course is determined by the continuous information that I get that set me on the course initially. Now, I said a lot, but it's so simple. I'm going to give you an illustration, then I break it down. When people want to lose weight, got it? What they do is go get a lot of information, and they go to Weight Watchers or some club that they're with that's constantly pumping information into them about losing weight and eating properly. But the moment they start slacking off, And there is no continuous flow of information that established the will in the first place, then their desire to hold that course is diminished. Oh, we don't have to go to Weight Watchers. We can come to church. Amen. You come to church, you get in the word, you come in the Bible study, you all hype, you ready to live for Jesus. Then you start missing a Sunday here, missing Bible study. Then you sit halfway. You used to be right up here, you understand? Couldn't wait till you get here early, you understand? You ready for the praise and the worship because you loving Jesus, you understand? I mean, you all into this thing. You got the tapes. You buying all the tapes. You got your Bible all colored up. You taking your notes. You into this thing. Continuous flow of information. You have your strong will. Somebody try to turn you around. Oh, no. I'm not going to turn around. Glory to God. Same person. Start missing Bible study. Start missing church. You got it? Not listen to tapes anymore. As soon as the flow of information that established your will in the beginning is stopped or diminished, so does the strength of your will diminish. So understanding that principle, I understand now how to keep my will set in faith by a saturation of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Principle of the will. Now, Romans 10, 17. So then faith come. You go to Hebrews like I told you. You go to Hebrew. But I'm working on something here. I'm still working on this last principle. Proof text. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by. But see, that word is hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Not by having heard. So if I want to be strong, I got to keep hearing. Now, in the midst of the faith fight with the 5,000 seater, I saturated myself with success. Saturated my mind every day with the word of God. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God who does the impossible. You understand? Saturated my, I ain't got time looking no television right now. I'm in a serious fight, you understand? I got to keep my will focused. And I understand the principle is I have to stay saturated with the word of God. Second principle of the will is I must have a compelling why that anchors me. In other words, a compelling why that causes me not to want to quit. All right. Hebrew, anybody getting blessed? I don't want to be the only one happy. You know what I'm saying?